Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Leslie Arnold, hosting ACOTA, the Ancient Science of Sahaji. It is September 12th, 2015, 6:30 p.m. on the East Coast of the United States of America, and I welcome everyone to the show. It's a pleasure to have you here, those who have just come for the first time, and also those who are regular listeners. So we do appreciate your being here with us. And I would like to give an especially warm welcome to the leader of this very ancient teaching, and that is Sri Katakji, the Mahaji, the 973rd Living Sarosha Master. How are you this evening, Sri Katakji?
I'm fine, Leslie. And how are you this evening?
I'm doing well, thank you. It's a pleasure to have you here. And I haven't mentioned yet to those people who are new that we will be talking about some of the basic fundamentals of this teaching so you can get a gist of what this is all about, as well as we will be addressing some deeper issues. And each show is different. While we address some of the same issues every week, we also bring to light some new esoteric information. So Sri Katakji, I know that you've been the living Sarosha Master for quite a while now. I believe that's been since 1988, and so that's more than 25 years. We're in that's quite a long time, but we also know that you're in an unbroken line of spiritual masters, that this mastership is a temporary title. So I wonder if you talk a little bit about why that's a temporary title, how that comes to be, and maybe a little background of that.
As you mentioned, in terms of the entitlement, the lineage goes back to before the dawn of time, but it has been measured since 3100 BC of the present age, which is called the Iron Age. And that the teacher is always existing, but sometimes the path, the high teaching of ACOTA, is sometimes not public. That means that the teacher always exists, but the teaching doesn't necessarily in the public arena. Right now, ACOTA, which is the ancient science of Sahaji, is publicly being taught by the present living Sarosha Master myself. And that means that it gives the opportunity for the ready soul, that soul who can come and hear the words of the teacher and learn how to liberate him or himself or herself to the fifth plane, which is the plane of liberation. Now, we'll talk about the four lower worlds this evening, which are the places or areas of vibration, dimensions, what have you, that need to be negotiated through for soul to, for want of a better word, get out of that area, if you will. The idea of getting, as I said before, the idea of liberation from the lower worlds. And that means true freedom for a soul, in that it won't have to be reincarnated in the four lower planes. And maybe you'd like to talk about four lower worlds, Leslie, those four planes.
Sure. We reside in what's actually considered the lowest of all the planes, the physical plane. And the reason it's considered to be the lowest is because the vibrations are the densest, the heaviest here. Because when spirit flows through from the God worlds, and our name in ACOTA for spirit is Sarosha, when Sarosha flows down from the Godhead, after it flows from the soul plane, which is the first level of pure positive energy, where there's no negative energy, it's all pure positive energy, what happens is it breaks off into dual aspects. So that's positive and negative once we go from the etheric plane on down to the physical. The further down we go towards the physical, the more matter is mingled with the spirit. So it becomes denser in vibration because of that. And the reason souls here on this physical plane, the densest place, is because it's an excellent training ground because of that aspect. And so that's why so many souls are here on the physical plane, and there are many of them are seeking to go higher, and some are just not aware that they're seeking, but in reality, all souls are really seeking spiritual unfoldment and to get back to the Godhead, but most don't really understand that. They don't really have the realization of that, the knowledge of that. But what happens is we're on the physical plane, and each of these planes has a particular word that's associated with it, a sound that you can hear, and the color. So it's very interesting. If you're traveling on the inner, you can definitely know where you're traveling because, for instance, the predominant color here on the physical plane, which we all know, is green, and the sound on the physical plane is that of thunder. So no one really knows that that's the sound of the Sirocha. Nobody really thinks about that. They just know it's a very, very powerful sound. And the word that is associated with the physical plane is Alea. And then the next plane above is the astral plane, where many people go in their dream state. And the astral plane is often has a sort of a predominant color of a rose or a red color to it, depending on where you are in the astral plane. The sound is the roar of the sea. And the word in the astral plane is actually Kala, K-A-L-A. So, as I said, each of these planes has a word, a sound, a color associated to it. But the astral plane is also a plane of psychic phenomena. So people that are dealing in psychic aspects, reading your future, tarot cards, that kind of thing, psychics, anything that they're doing on the psychic plane is if they're really on the astral level. And they might have thought that they're in a great higher place, but it's just slightly higher than the physical plane. Of course, the further up that you go, the more spirit there is, and it does seem like a much grander place. But until you experience the pure positive God worlds where there is no negativity, people don't understand the differentiation of that. The next plane up is a causal plane, the next plane above the astral plane. So the causal plane, this is the plane where the past life records are kept. So when people go back and read their past life lives, that's where they're focusing on, the causal plane. The color is sort of a coppery, ochre color, an orangish color. And there's also a sound that's associated with the causal plane, and that's actually the tinkle of bells. And additionally, there's a word that people often used to chant, that is actually Om, A-U-M. So when people are using the word Om, for example, Buddhists use that very often, but in many of the New Age paths, they'll chant the word Om. They're thinking that's bringing them to a much higher place, and that is above, but it's not the highest that you can go. And later on in the evening, I will be talking about the word that we use to chant in our spiritual exercises and where that brings you to, because it is important to understand the difference of what word you chant and where it brings you to. So above the causal plane, we actually reach the mental plane, which is a color. It has a color of blue in it and sound of running water. And in the mental plane, the word that's associated with it is mana, M-A-N-A. And the mental plane is really the source of philosophy, religions, morals. It really comes, the universal mind power, it really comes from the mental plane. So any of the religions, that's really where they are focusing, is on the mental plane. So a religion, while it can bring you some help in your spiritual growth and morality, mostly it's not going to bring somebody to the higher goals of self-realization, God-realization, or spiritual mastery. Now, but there's actually a top part of the mental plane, which is called the etheric plane. It's and it has more of a lavender color that's associated with it. The sound is the buzzing of bees. The word that can be chanted to get to the ethereal plane is Baju, B-A-J-U. And it's really the source of the unconscious, the primitive, and it's the highest of the lower planes, but still there is a trickling of negativity here. One really wants to focus to get to the higher, pure, positive God's worlds. And I will let off here and let you talk perhaps a little further about that or whatever you wish to speak of, Sri Padakji.
Well, thank you for that clear explanation of the lower planes. And those are the planes that Akita comes in for helping the ready soul to become liberated from. And that means at the end of the third plane, which is the top of the fourth plane, as you explained, is now the area of the soul plane or the fifth dimension, which is the first of the God worlds, or as we keep mentioning, the liberation point of soul. At this point, soul is now free of the lower planes, which are those areas of karma and reincarnation. And therefore, there's a cycle of reincarnation that takes place. And the reason why we're emphasizing making such explanation of the lower planes is that these are places that have been out of control for the soul, and they keep coming back in a cycle, like they call it the wheel of samskara or the wheel of the 84, and it's like a cycling of an uncontrolled cycling that only, Akita can free one up from that cycling. So it's a kind of a scary thing, and it goes on for a long, long time, maybe millions of years. And so you can see it's like spinning your wheels in the sand, so to speak. People aren't getting anywhere. So the idea of Akita gets one from this wheel into the areas of the true worlds of soul from the fifth plane on up. So that's why Akita is very important in the ready soul's life, because when they have this experience of Sahaji, perhaps in their youth and what have you, and there's no teaching to support it, when the parents or teachers or what have you tell the individual they're just hallucinating or it's a lie or it has no value in terms of the out-of-body experience, wherein in Akita it's of supreme importance and a major focus, because Akita is the short definition of the ancient science of Sahaji. So it goes back before the dawn of time, but again, it's not public always, and it's a secret science, and then people will say, well, why isn't it taught to everybody? Well, that wasn't the way that the supreme deity that we call the Akshar, A-K-S-H-A-R, is the supreme deity in Akita. It's the god of Akita. It's really the god of everything, but it isn't an exclusive privilege to every teaching, per se. We point to it and say you can have that experience by traveling the path of Akita, and you can gain god realization on this path. That's the second major goal, with the first one being self-realization, and the third one being Sorosha mastery that Leslie had mentioned earlier in the show. All right, so this whole idea is that the importance of the path is to get the ready soul, and I keep saying the ready soul because it's really not for everyone, because it wasn't set up that way. The Supreme Deity set up, as you had mentioned, Leslie, that it was the lower worlds are really a training ground for soul to gain enough experiences to realize it has been in error for a long time and now needs to get back to the supervision or the supra-powerful realms above these lower regions and get control of the state of consciousness. Because people that aren't on the path are not in control of these incarnations. And then maybe people may claim that they have awareness and know a few things, but they really don't know things. And privately, people are usually pretty miserable, start crying the blues and all these types of things. All right, that's not our issue here. Or as you said earlier, talking about issues, the real situation is that when people have the out-of-body experiences that we call sahaji, they are, again, very important because that is a vehicle, quite distinctly and not ironically, but in reality, for the soul to move on the inside. Because when these New Age paths, and ACT is not New Age religion, philosophy, cult or occult, nor is it metaphysical teachings or any sort of teaching outside of a pathway, science or teaching. Those are the four definitions we have of ACTSA, albeit we talk about God, but we're not really a religion. And we're not a religion at all, I'll say. Quite categorically and incontrovertibly not a religion. If the path ever becomes a religion, it's not the highest path or the most direct, as I say, or really the only path to God, because the other teachers don't get this liberation that we're talking about and don't even go into the details that we do each week in explaining the basic principles of ACT. It's to get one freed up from these lower arenas. All right, you can't go anywhere else and have people get the same information that we teach with reference to this freedom, in terms of not necessarily country freedom and this sort of political freedom, but actually in essence as soul. And that essence as soul, we may not have mentioned this earlier, but it comes as the sound current that one hears is like a high electrical pitch or a ringing in the ear on the inside. One will hear this within them, and then once they hear it, they know themselves as soul. So I often say that ACTSA is experiential path. One has the experience of the sound current. It's not just a lot of talk and information and tagging things and arguing points and things of this nature. It has nothing to do with that. What we do is we point the way to the essence of man as a sound current and light. And light is the sound seen, and the sound is the light heard. And it's the twin aspects of what we call Sarosha, which is a derivation of the word spirit. S-R-A-O-S-H-A is the original word for spirit, Sarosha. It looks, the word itself, its stylized version logo, looks like a top of a spiral, which is really the top of the essence of soul, which is kind of like a little tornado spinning. So even I think medical science has measured an ounce of weight for the spirit leaving the body. That's kind of an audacious thing. But nevertheless, they know that there's a distinct difference when person passes away, that the soul leaves the body. All right, so again, we're addressing the idea of this soul leaving the body, but not necessarily only in death, but when one leaves in sahaji, it leaves and then it returns back to the physical body. So we want to emphasize that too. We're really not talking about death. We're talking about the practice of sahaji, to come and go at will in the ability to do sahaji. And that's the science of sahaji, which is ACTSA. And we teach this on a daily basis in classwork, and we have various, try to do seminars. We're setting things up around the world. We have about a couple thousand members internationally. We're fairly small, but at the same time, we're growing, and we're trying to get the message out to the 1% of the population, which represents about 75 million people internationally. And that's the movement. That's really the target people. I mean, not in terms of using it in a crass way, but I mean, just the whole idea is we can't really appeal to 100% of the people, because we appeal to the individual, as we said before, is ready, would be the one who has the ears to hear and the eyes to see the basic information that we're teaching tonight. So what's our time look like right now?
Well, we've got about 10 minutes left. And if
okay.
I might interject, if you don't mind, Sukhadev G, I did want to mention to people that everything that we do on this path is of no charge. So if you want to, go to our website, akita.com, and download our introductory book. If you want to listen to other audios of Srikhadev G, feel free to do that because there is no charge. And then for anyone who is interested in applying for membership, you can do that on the website as well, and there is no charge for that either. So we don't want anything to interfere with anybody's interest in spiritual unfoldment. If they're a true spiritual seeker and they feel that we are the path for them, then feel free. There's no monetary obstacle whatsoever. And I did want to say, for those people who want to plan ahead, or if you happen to be in the Philadelphia area in October, on October 20th, we're having a talk. Srikhadev G will present a seminar message to the ACATA members and all others who are searching for spiritual enlightenment and liberation. And this is a very special evening because it's also 2 days prior to the Spiritual New Year, which is actually October 22nd of every year. So this will be our Spiritual New Year address. And if you'd like to meet Srikhadev G there, it will be at Philadelphia Central Library, room 108, and that is Tuesday, October 20th at 6:30 p.m. So we welcome anyone. It's at 1900 Vine Street. We welcome anyone who is interested in meeting Srikhadev G and to hear the seminar message that he will be giving, the New Year's message. So I did want to mention that, and we've got about 8 minutes left, so I'll hand this back to you, Srikhadev G.
All right. I'm glad you had mentioned that all the materials and membership are free, so that there's really no undertones of the fact that we're pitchmen and trying to sell something here. Our message is pure in terms of giving the opportunity to the ready soul to gain spiritual liberation. We're not selling anything. So that whole thought pattern can be done away with and be no concern over how much, you know, type thing. Well, what are you selling, this sort of thing? Because nowadays we have that all over the internet and around the world where people are solicited for money on a constant basis. And so, therefore, we're free to that entirely. We don't sell seminars, we don't sell books, or no paraphernalia, no contributions, no donations. If we receive donations, we return them. So we're freed up completely from the money issue. And I'm kind of glad about that, because there's no concern, no discussion whatsoever about the justification of groups taking money. And you'll find that people are just out there selling things, and I don't begrudge that, but then I don't have to be concerned about it. So I think that's pretty clear in terms of the explanation of the whole money thing. And having said that, going back to the attention on spirit, the attention on movement on the inside, when people have the experience of doing the daily contemplation, which is an emphasis that we talk about. We talk about a 30-minute exercise, and Leslie will take us through a huge chant in a moment, but the contemplation is really necessary, and it looks like meditation, but meditation is a real misinterpretation of the word contemplation, an old misinterpretation. But when we do a contemplation, it looks very meditation-like, so that's when we use that phrase to explain what it appears to be. In contemplation, as Afra said, when we close our eyes, we're in the state of sahaji, which means we're moving on the inner planes immediately. And in that spinning state, even when we open our eyes physically, we're actually spinning as well, but we've been conditioned to see just a non-spinning state in front of us. But if you know we're just in part of a spin, then that's the reality even of the physical plane. And therefore, when we talk about doing a daily contemplation, we want to close our eyes and then go within, closing the eyes, and then we can see things just like we see things on the outer planes. because we're seeing the entire universe. Firstly, if it's dark, then you know that black is the absence of light. But really, when we look at that very closely, we know that darkness is really a poor definition for the light, like a misinterpretation, like meditation of contemplation. So when we learn the truth of the matter on the inner planes, that when we're seeing and looking, then things and stuff will appear in the lower worlds, and also higher worlds evanescence in reference to there are higher worlds images, but they don't last like the lower worlds. The lower worlds are concrete. Those four planes are solidified because when we go and experience them and you leave, they're still there. It would be that old proverb, if the tree falls in the woods, does it have a sound? In the lower worlds, it does. The lower worlds still exist, and there's all sorts of clamor and cacophony going on in the lower worlds. However, in the higher worlds, there is no negativity. As you said, the faces of imagery disappear immediately when you leave. So in other words, they're fugacious or evanescent. They don't last, and it's sort of our making and our creation. Not unlike the lower worlds, but after said, it's more molecular, concrete, and it's also there for a collective to see, whereas the higher planes above the fifth plane are more of an individual power elements of light and sound, of the consciousness of the Sirosha. So, Leslie, if you take us through a huge chant, I really appreciate that.
Sure, I'd be happy to. And earlier when I was speaking about a lot of people using the word Om that comes off the third plane, and I said I would mention the word that we use that's off the soul plane, the self-realization plane, that is highly recommended, and that is the word HU, H-U. And it just sounds just like that, HU, and it's really an extremely highly vibrational word. And it's off the fifth plane. It's actually off the tenth plane of spiritual mastery. And that's why it's such an important word to use, because it does bring you to a higher place, and it's very powerful in keeping out negativity. So it's recommended to use that. Now, what we do is we're going to close our eyes and take a couple of deep breaths to relax, put our attention on the third eye, the Kizrtil, or that point right between the eyebrows, just above the bridge of the nose. And have your feet flat on the floor. You can be sitting in tower fashion, whatever is most comfortable for you. And when you do a spiritual exercise at home, a 30-minute spiritual exercise, you want to be in as quiet a place as possible. So what you'll do is chant the word HU for a few minutes, and we're just going to do a short HU chant now. And if you're ready, it just sounds like this. HU. You can continue that for a few more minutes, or you can chant it a little bit longer as you wish. But it is recommended you do that daily for a 30-minute block of time, because that 30 minute covers you for a 24-hour period. And you can also look up some other spiritual techniques or your spiritual exercises when you go to the website and you download the introductory book. In Chapter 3, there are other spiritual techniques that are listed there. So I do want to thank everyone for being with us this evening. It's always a pleasure to have those who come to listen to the message of spirit. And I especially want to thank Sri Kadav Ji for being with us this evening and every week to give out the message. Sri Kadav Ji, It's always a pleasure, and I know that anyone that's in Philadelphia on October 20th will be happy to go to the Central Library at 1900 Vine at 6:30 that evening to meet you in person. So, Sri Kadav Ji, we've got about 20 seconds left, and I do want to hand this over to you so you can say your farewells for the evening.
Yes. I am always with you. May the blessings be Barakah B'Shah.